Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, incidentally ruled by a former Federal Reserve banker by the name of John Key, who was on the board of the Federal Reserve Bank for 2 years in charge of the European bond and derivatives trade. You've got to love how we have so much variance between our countries and the people that back our so-called leaders. Today, we have two very special guests who, for the first time ever, are going to appear on radio together. They've done a DVD together, and this is the first time on radio, so I'd like to welcome them now. We have, firstly, Tom Filer, who is a, well, finance extraordinaire, knows huge quantities about the industry, and we also have the indomitable Pastor Lindsay Williams. So sure today is going to be a good show. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Vinny, thank you for the privilege of allowing me on your show tonight. It's been quite a few weeks since I've had the opportunity to be with you.
Yeah, I missed you.
Good and Tom, to hear that accent
from down
under. Yeah. And Tom,
are you on the line there too?
Yes, I am. And thank you for having me. It's a pleasure again to be with you, and certainly even more of a pleasure to have Chaplain Williams on the line as well.
Now, lots have happened since I spoke to both of you last, and I wanted to actually start this show on a bit of a personal note. I don't know how you're gonna react to this, but I wanted to kind of put it anyway. Men of conscience have trouble sleeping, namely because they've got one, even when their conscience is clear. Have you noticed that?
Well, Vinny, I have. I'll speak for myself. In fact, for the past 2 weeks, I have been so sick. There were a few times I thought I was going to die. And not really, honest. I've never been this sick in my life. I'm in my 70s, but I've never been quite that sick. And I contacted one of the most renowned doctors in the world. You know, being on as many radio shows as I am and traveling as I have and been in many countries as I have over the years, I've gotten to know a lot of doctors and lawyers and all the rest, you may name it. There are just a few people I trust explicitly, and I called him the other day, and I said, here are all my symptoms. What do you think, Benny? I am amazed that you would ask a question you just asked, because he said to me, he said, Chaplain, I know how many people are looking to you. And he said, I know how many shows you're doing all the time. He said, could it possibly be that you're taking all of this burden on your shoulders because America's in trouble. And I said, Doctor, I think you're exactly right. I said, I cannot find any disease whatsoever that matches my symptoms. I think every bit of it is the fact that we are in such a mess right now. I think it's gotten to me, Vinny.
Mm. Tom, what do you feel about this?
Yes, I would agree that we really face a lot of perilous events. Right now is a time where a lot of changes are taking place, or they have been taking place over the past 4 or 5 years. And, people really need to kind of reset the way they've been looking at things, understanding events, and they've also got to, change a lot of the ways that they've been doing things as well. And these changes are very, very important to make, both in our personal lives as well as in our investment lives as well. And so I know that we'll have an opportunity to speak more about some of these things during today's show.
Mm. And the second element I wanted to bring into that, I read an interesting quote from Edward Bernays this morning. It says, "The way to a man's heart is through his stomach, but the way into a society's heart is through its women." And I was just thinking about my relationship with Sarah and how I really wouldn't be capable of doing any of these things that I'm doing without her support and backing and things of that nature. And I was wondering, what do you guys have a significant other, a wife, or what have you, that helps you get through all this too?
Penny, I think I probably have the greatest wife on the face of the earth. She is a marvelous Christian. She has been praying for me, reading the Bible to me, helping me for the last 2 or 3 weeks in a very special way. She stands behind me all the way. And you're right. I could not do it. And I agree with what you're saying. And if we didn't have the partners we have, we probably couldn't make it.
So same for you, Tom?
And Vinny, I as well. I have a wonderful wife, as well as two boys, 13 and 14 years old. So, we team up to raise them. And, my wife is a wonderful balance to me. She gives me a lot of perspectives and a lot of advice, which I wouldn't even conceive of coming up with. So I'm blessed with my wife and, of course, my family as well, my two boys.
So now the reason I decided to start the interview with that preface is because people in our position, there's a sort of mystique on commentators and pundits and people that have these intellectual positions in society that are trying to help really advance humanity down a more positive course. And it occurs to me that we're ordinary men who would rather just be living our lives with our families. The problem is we have a higher calling, and there's not much of a choice in what it is that we're doing. And survival is a matter of keeping those things, those very simple, straightforward things that everybody should have in their life, solid, like having a nice partner and getting enough sleep. So without further ado, I wanted to get into this. Have you guys heard about this fiscal cliff?
Yes, fiscal cliff has been very much in the news, very much in the forefront, and I do deal with it quite a bit lately.
Well, because I don't quite understand what it really meant. It just seemed to me to be a massive, scary thing that the media pumped up in front of everybody to freak them out, essentially so they'd forget about everything else. And incidentally, it was happening over the Christmas and holiday season when nobody was following the news.
Well, Benny, let me explain it the way that my elite friend did. Now, you know who he is, and you know that I have one person who's retired, who knows everything that goes on behind closed doors. And just after the election in November, I had so many business friends of mine who were contacting me and say, Lindsay, what do we do? Do we close all businesses? Do we build all businesses? Do we dare invest? Or what is the climate going to be for the next 4 years? They were literally beside themselves. no telling how many phone calls I got saying, please, 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 tell us anything you know. Well, I knew there was one place to get an answer. There always has been for the past 37 years, and that's from the people who behind closed doors plan it. And I did. I made a phone call, and I said, would you please tell me what we can expect for the next 4 years' time? Vinny, I won't be the same person again after what I heard. Over the next probably 3 to 4 days, I received numerous emails from my elitist friend explaining things to me. And it boiled down to this. There are 10 agendas that the American people will be facing over the next 4 years. And if they know what they are, they can save themselves major, major heartache. And after I compiled them all, put them together, and then emailed this friend back and got some more details, and at that point, it took me 3 hours and 29 minutes in front of the video cameras in studio in order to explain the 10 agendas that I'd been given the information about. It was so in-depth, and things that people must know in order to even be able to survive financially and physically and mentally. And yes, I say all of those, mentally and physically also, over these next 4 years, they have 10 agendas, and one of them had to do with the physical cliff. And when I got to it, I realized that the physical cliff was not what they were making it out to be on the news media. The physical cliff was the biggest charade you can ever imagine. It was a marvelous opportunity for the politicians to stand up and get their names in the news. And my elite friend told me what the physical cliff was all about. He said that the physical cliff, he said, Chaplain, is nothing in the world but a method of taxing the middle class into oblivion. I know that sounds strange, and I could have never gotten that from any other place. And then he went on to explain to me why the, now this is a very, very startling statement that I hope everyone out there has a pencil and paper, because I'm really sticking my neck out and risking my reputation. But based on what I heard, the elite do not want a financial collapse yet. Now, that's the euro, the American dollar, no matter what currency in the world it may be, they do not want a financial collapse yet. In fact, I'm going to go so far as to give some time frames. Now, keep in mind that the elite are not God. They just think they are. They don't always get their way. If the elite have their way, they do not want the dollar to have a major problem for at least 2 years, maybe three, but in less than four. And this gives a marvelous opportunity for everybody to know. If they know the 10 agendas, it gives them a great opportunity in order to take advantage right now of a dollar that's still fairly strong, an opportunity to prepare for the inevitable that will take place whenever they decide to collapse the derivative market. And that's the method that they'll bring about the collapses of all the currencies of the world when they get ready to do it. And these things that I learned from my elite friend, it all depends on how much in depth you want to go into them today, Vinny.
Lindsay, they say, are they capable of indefinitely putting things off? Because I've seen the enormous creation of money out of thin air, and a lot of people are saying that it can't be sustained. And my opinion is you can infinitely create things that don't exist. So they can put it off for however long they want. And it's only a matter of timing.
Vinny, you're thinking in the right channel. And, you know, that's been so difficult for so many people. I have a lot of friends who are newsletter writers. And over the past year, year and a half, one after the other has stuck his neck out and said there's going to be a financial collapse when Greece collapses and the euro is going to collapse. And I went to my elite friend, and he said, no, Chaplain, it's not going to. And then I'd go back, and some talk show host would say, how long is it going to be? And I'd go to my elite friend. He said, Chaplain, not going to be in the next 3 months. Then 3 months later, I'd go back again, and finally he came across with it when he was talking about this physical cliff. They do have the capability of holding this thing off, not infinitely, but they have the capability of holding it off for a lengthy period of time until they can create massive debt all over the world. The reason they're holding it off, and I'll use the words that are, they really are, I don't know how to put it, they're forceful words. The word forced debt creation is what they are in the process of doing over the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay. Tom, do you have anything to add here?
Say that again, Benny.
I was asking Tom, does he have anything to add here?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry, Benny. Absolutely. And the other thing, besides creating massive debt, the global elite or the powers that be globally are certainly in the process of doing to prepare for, the new global system is to create global institutions in order to be able to run the new global system. So you're seeing either new global institutions being created, which will be vital parts of the new world order, or you're seeing existing institutions like, for example, the IMF, which has really been involved, evolved by the global elite into a different type of institution than it was created for. And really right now it's almost serving as the global, Fed. Once the IMF, through the direction of the global elite, get their loans and their monies, into countries, then those countries really become slaves. So they get into servitude, to the IMF and the debt that the IMF, is getting them into, or they're accepting the debt and the loans from the IMF. And if you speak to anybody in the Eurozone, they'll tell you that when any country gets a loan from the IMF, it's just not simply a financial transaction, but it's a financial transaction. It's a social transaction because they put social prescriptions on, what they need to do in order to get these loans. It's taken away a lot of the personal freedoms of many of the people all throughout the entire Eurozone. So that's
not entirely. It's not entirely dissimilar from taking a loan shark's word, saying he'll kneecap you if you don't pay by this certain time, and before you know it, you're in his pocket. That's kind of how it works. Lindsay Williams and Tom Filer are my guests today for the full 2 hours. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week, trying to give a platform to those who don't really have their own. Because, hey, look at it this way. If you want to talk about media coverage, they don't usually give it to those who actually deserve your attention, do they? And if you want to make something right, you've got to do it yourself. My very special guests are Tom Filer and Pastor Lindsay Williams. Welcome back. Now, we were talking before the break about the setup of new global institutions and also the, persistent involvement of current global institutions, such as the IMF, in terms of setting up massive debt and indeed the social and political policies of the countries that they indeed indebt. Who would like to continue on from that?
Well, Tom, you go ahead. You've been in the financial world for years.
Sure. Something else, of course, that you're seeing out there, and I think Chaplin has spoken about it and reported on it very well, is a change in the use of currencies all around the world. A new world order cannot have a country or one country's currency as a dominant so-called reserve currency, but not just a reserve currency, but a currency that is so instrumental in global trade. A new world order can't have that. So what has been going on for the past well over a decade is the U.S. Financial power and strength, as well as the strength of our currency, is being diminished. And, of course, that's certainly to the detriment of people in the United States and people who, you know, we transact business, we work, we get paid in the U.S. dollars, the sweat off our brow, and that's just been diminishing, and that's the plan. I think Chaplin's reported on how a lot of the oil trade out there now has shifted away from the dollar and into local currencies between the countries that are doing the trade. The emerging countries, the BRIC companies, countries are looking to put together an institution which they would do trade, through themselves, and not use the U.S. dollar. And so that's another change or evolution of what's going on out there in order to make this change into the so-called New World Order.
Vinny, what you just asked is one of the 10 agendas that the elite told me about. Now, I am amazed at the questions you're asking today. It's almost as if you have read my mind or looked at my latest DVD series that just came out days ago.
I'm doing neither.
So nobody can say that you knew the questions to ask today. But that's exactly what's happening. Over the next 4 years, it is scheduled to phase out the American dollar. Now, it's been phased out very rapidly. First of all, the BRICS group, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa group that met back on April the 5th, 2012, said they would not use the American dollar anymore in sale and trade of their products. And that's 43% of the world's population, 18% of the world's GDP, and 53% of the world's global financial capital. Then it came up to the Phnom Penh meeting, which took place just a matter of days ago. You remember when our president went there, President of the United States of America, and there were 15 Asian nations comprising one half of the world's population, and they met to form the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. And when our president got there, he was utterly, totally disgraced and embarrassed. Our news media here in America covered this before he left. Oh, this wonderful meeting he's going to, his entourage, he's flying over this meeting. When he got back to America, you didn't hear one word, not a peep out of the liberal media, because they told our president, of the United States of America, when he got there at this meeting, they basically said, get on your 747 and fly back home. We don't even want you here. We are not going to allow you to be a part of this group. Now, consider who this is. This is one half the world's population formed their own comprehensive economic partnership, including China, India, Japan, South Korea, Australia, and New Zealand. That is 3 billion Asians. And they said, we aren't even going to include the United States of America. Can you imagine one half of the world, as of right now, not needing the American dollar any longer because they're going to use Chinese currency for the sale and trade of all their products amongst themselves? The dollar is already dead, and one of the 10 agendas that were given to me, that is, over the next 4 years, Americans, you better prepare for it. You can go buy something with it right now. You better get ready for the day that its purchasing power is diminished drastically, because that is one of the agendas of the next 4 years to phase out the American dollar.
Have you ever heard of the film Weekend at Bernie's, where their boss dies and they keep him around, like put sunglasses on him and keep him moving through a sophisticated pulley system, things like that?
Yes.
It seems like the dollar
very
to me
funny.
Is like Weekend at Bernanke's.
Yeah.
How long are they going to keep the charade up?
They'll keep it up for a minimum of 2 years. Now, please, I know I'm really sticking my neck out and setting dates here today. And if the elite don't get their way, then I'm quite sure that people will say something about me. But from what I'm gathering between the lines and what my friends are telling me, they've got at least 2 years before they're going to allow anything drastic or catastrophic to happen to the dollar. But be careful, up into the third and fourth year, you may begin to see some very, very drastic events.
Tom Filer, what's your take on all this? And over the next 2 years, financially speaking, on a household level, how should people really be perceiving this information?
Well, in the DVD, in the presentation that I make, if I were to pull one line out of that that people really need to listen to, is under the present economic and market conditions, investors need to immediately protect their holdings. And that's because of what is coming up. There are a lot of what I call dislocations out there in the economic and in the financial world. And I think, you know, the audience is aware of a lot of those dislocations. The U.S. has a dramatic balance sheet dislocation or problem. In other words, we have a lot of debt. Of course, over in Europe, they have a lot of debt as well. There's also, we were talking about printing the currency and diminishing the value of the dollar. So there's actually, there's money being printed all over the world, not just in the U.S. Fed. And so, again, that causes a dislocation in the system, you know, when you artificially, you know, take actions like that. And it's almost a few other things you can you know, think about is there's always derivatives. You know, don't get complacent about understanding what the impact of derivatives are. We saw what happened with J.P. Morgan, last year. And so derivatives are always poised to create a dislocation, and then, you know, very much like an earthquake. You know, I could mention about seven or eight other types of dislocations that are out there in the currency world, with derivatives, as well as a number of other places. And it's very much like an earthquake, you know, where, you know, these various areas, whether it be in currencies, whether it be in derivatives, whether it be, you know, balance sheets, whether it be, you know, printing of money, all those dislocations are constantly moving. And they begin to rub, when they begin to rub up against each other, they're constantly rubbing up against each other because a lot of them are related to each other. A lot of these markets, the currency markets, the derivatives markets, the stock market, they're all related to each other and they have a relationship. And that's one thing that we explain in the DVD. As a matter of fact, you'll read a section or you'll hear a section on the DVD about the relationship between various markets. And it's something that you've probably never heard before, and information that's not presented to you. But when these dislocations constantly rub against each other, every once in a while, just like an earthquake, you're gonna get a dislocation between the rubbing, and you're gonna get a rumbling, or you're gonna get an earthquake. And of course, we saw that between 2007 and 2009, when we saw, you know, stock market go down 30-50%, real estate go down even more than that. So that's what's happening out there in the world today, and so that's why you've got to immediately get your assets protected.
Now, with the massive connections between all of these different financial instruments, whether that be commodities trading, derivatives, if they're all connected, does that mean they can all be manipulated?
Yeah.
Tom, you go ahead.
Yes. Right now, let me give you a good example. Right now, the stock market is at 5-year highs. And, of course, we're in a situation now where, you know, economically the U.S. has 7-8% unemployment, which wouldn't justify a market being at highs after 5 years. We've got, as I mentioned before, a gigantic budget deficit. We've got we don't even have GDP growth. GDP is increasing at about, you know, 2% here in the United States, in the United States, and that's not growth. You know, growth is 3+% GDP growth. So we don't even have growth in our economy here in the United States. And I can mention a number of other, you know, things about the weakness of the U.S. economy, and yet the stock market is at 5-year high. You see, so the stock market, you know, is being manipulated and is being, you know, pushed up and held up by some very specific means. And, of course, you know, we're aware of what those means are. We know how they work. And, of course, you know, this helps us to advise people on their stock market assets and how to first get them into safety and then look to try to diversify into safer, more physical assets. That's one thing, and once again, Chaplin has been talking about for years, is the need to diversify and get out of paper assets and, hold physical assets as much as possible, assets that can provide sustenance to you. So, again, you know, in the presentation and in a booklet that I think we're going to be talking about today, there's an explanation of some of these physical assets that are available to diversify your paper assets into.
Now, I've been told by a number of people, I'd like to address this question to you, Pastor, is that if you've got your assets on paper, that's all that they're worth. Unless you actually have gold in your possession, it's worth nothing.
That is exactly one of the expressions that was given to me back almost 3 years ago. And I think I said it on your show a number of times. It's in the archives. If it is written on a piece of paper, it is worth the paper it's written on. But that does not mean that the only thing you can put it in is gold and silver. An asset, a tangible asset that is not paper, could very well be a garden in your backyard that the land is paid for, and you can grow food for your family. It may be a paid-for roof over your head, and I plead, I beg, I get on my knees here before this microphone, if I could, and beg with every person in your audience to pay off the mortgage on that house. I had rather live in a log cabin with no mortgage on it than to live in a $1 million mansion and have a mortgage. They have plans for that mortgage over the next 4 years that will dumbfound you when you hear these 10 agendas. Now, other things that gold and silver may be something that you want to go into. There are many tangible assets, but the main thing is get out of those 401ks, get out of those IRAs, get out of that mutual fund, get out of anything that's paper. Even city bonds and state bonds and municipal bonds and all the rest of them, they're written on paper. My dad was a very wealthy man before I was born. And back in 1929, he had made a fortune on Florida real estate. And he decided that the best thing in the world to invest in was Coral Gables, Florida bonds. After all, nothing could ever happen. With the building boom that was going on in South Florida, those bonds would always be worth something. Well, 1929 hit. And when it did, the city of Coral Gables declared bankruptcy. Oh, you say it can't happen. Oh, yes, it can. Every city in the nation has the capability of declaring bankruptcy. And Coral Gables, Florida declared bankruptcy, and in 24 hours' time, my dad went from being a wealthy man to a pauper because he had his assets in paper. If it's written on a piece of paper, it's worth the paper it's written on, Benny.
So the ability to manipulate what's actually happening in the markets is essentially the Achilles heel of the common man. And the hammer stroke that can fall from the elite all the way down to us.
Well, Vinny, let me just relate something here that each of your listeners out there, this I hope will move them quite a bit. When I heard these 10 agendas, now keep in mind, I was a pastor of a church for 12 years. I failed a decent-sized congregation.
Break.
I had been a missionary in Alaska for many years. You can't be in that position without having a heart for people. And when I heard what was going to happen from one of them that's retired, this man is older, he's not a young fellow, but he knows what's going on behind closed doors. And when I heard what was going to happen, that's when I went in studio, and 3 hours and 29 minutes it took me to tell the information I'd heard. And after I got through with it, I was so flabbergasted. I think that's probably what's been wrong with me here the last few weeks. I was so heart sick, so flabbergasted that I said, I can't do this. I could not release it. I had already produced it. The editor.
Pastor, I'm sorry. We're coming up to break now. We'll be right back. Tom Filer and Pastor Lindsay Williams are my guests. We'll be right back at theVinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos, madness, and perpetual scumbaggery, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. my very special guests are Tom Filer and Pastor Lindsay Williams. Now, I've had a question in the chat room, and I'd like to address that first before I go on to my next point. Something about Iron Mountain, some description of meeting. Do you guys know anything about this? Because I don't.
I'm not quite sure what you're speaking of, Benny.
All right. Cool. Yeah, next question. You said that there were 10 things to watch out for, Chaplain Williams? I'd like to address them one by one and then get Tom's comments on them after you explain what they are, kind of thing, if that's possible.
Yes, I'd be more than happy to, because Tom knows these well. What happened was, after I had received this information and produced that DVD, I called Tom. And you remember the day I called you, Tom, I was desperate. And I said, I have to give people an answer to all of this. I cannot leave them here. And Tom Fowler and one other gentleman, very prominent financial advisor in America, and Tom I trust more than anybody in the country financially. And I said, would you please go in studio with me and let's give people nothing but solutions. I said, I don't want a single doom and gloom. I said, I've already told them all the 10 agendas, some bad, some good. I said, I want us, look these over. And I sent them the text. And I said, you look them over, and let's go in studio. And we did. In 2 hours and 50 minutes, three of us gave a solution to the wealthy person, the middle-class person, the street person, I don't care who you may be. Nothing but 2 hours and 50 minutes of solutions as to how you can overcome the next 4 years. And we called the first one the next 4 years. We called the second one how you can survive in the next 4 years. Yes, there are solutions out there to these. So let me give you the first one. Number one is very encouraging. There will not be a financial collapse yet if the elite have their way. They don't want it yet. And sometimes they can't always prevent things. Now, that's good news, because your dollar is still strong enough. Go do something about it. Don't go into debt, please. Don't borrow money for any reason. If you can't pay for it outright, don't buy it. But keep in mind that you have a window of opportunity here. Secondly, you must be cautious of the second item, forced debt creation. And, Tom, this is where I'm going to ask you for some help, because the elite are using such things as the alternative minimum tax. The average person doesn't even realize what's going to happen to them April the 15th. They don't know that the average family, when they have someone fill out their tax for them on April the 15th, they're going to come to realize that they owe $2,000 to $3,000 extra that they didn't even know was there. It all came out of the fiscal cliff. The rich aren't the ones being taxed. The middle class is being taxed into oblivion. And number one was, you're not going to have a financial collapse yet. Secondly, they are forcing debt creation. So, Tom, you give us some ideas there if you can.
Sure. Yeah, that's one of the themes, I think, in parts of the DVD, that the global elite or the financial power structure out there is after your money. And they need your money to push up their assets. And then when it comes time, there's always two sides to a trade. I think earlier, Vinny, you mentioned that owning assets that appreciate are good, but you don't really benefit from those until an asset is sold. And then you take a profit. But you need money to push that asset up. And then when you sell it, you need somebody on the other side of the trade, which is the side of the trade that loses the money. And so we just went through a situation between 2007 and 2009 when the skids were greased for over a decade. All throughout the 2000s, stock market was pushed up, real estate prices were pushed up. And then when it came time for the global leader, the power elite, to take their profits, they took their profits, and it was the everyday American who lost 30 to 50% in their 401ks and their portfolios, as well as in their real estate. And that's, as Chaplain mentions, another way to basically take your money is through taxes. So that was one of the big fallacies that was perpetuated with the fiscal cliff deal. It was told that the middle class are going to be protected. Their taxes are not going to be raised, only those who make more than $400,000. But as Chaplin points out, that's not true at all. The Social Security taxes went up, and the taxes from the new health care program, they're going up on the middle class. So that was just a gigantic lie and fallacy of this so-called fiscal cliff deal. But from an investment management standpoint, for those people who do own 401ks, for those people who have money in the stock market, for those who maybe have people in some of the other markets, the good news, and Chaplin's right, Chaplin every day speaks on the radio and, of course, through the DVDs, and there's always the problem or the challenge, but there's always the solution. And so the good news is, from an investment standpoint and from the management of the assets that you have, there are ways to protect your money, and there's ways to be able to navigate what's going on out there with these big changes that's going on, and be able to not only protect your assets from what's going on, but also to grow your assets as well. If you work with somebody competent and they know what they're doing.
Okay. And you said that there were 10 things to look out for, Chaplin Williams. What's number two?
Well, number one was they don't want a financial collapse right now. Number two, forced debt creation is one of their agendas. Let me give you a typical example of it. When I went to college many, many years ago, I worked my way through college. My parents didn't have the money to send me. Finished 7 years, got a bachelor's degree. I worked in a grocery store. I worked driving Avis automobiles and delivering them. I did everything imaginable. Today, they have convinced the average high school graduate that the only thing they can do is get a college loan from the federal government. It is intentional. It is forced debt creation. They know when that college graduate gets out that very few of them are actually going to find a job in America because they've moved them to China and India and Mexico, and they know this. And so as a result, they know that this person will be obligated to Uncle Sam for years and years and years to come. And because of this, Mr. Obama said just the other day, I was flabbergasted this man would even say this. He said, all right, whenever you graduate from college with your college loan, if you will work for the government for 2 years, we'll forgive that student loan. I can't describe the emotion I had when this man had the audacity to take those poor students and put them under his thumb like that. So the number one was that. Number two, forced debt creation. Number three, middle class is it is an agenda to, over the next 4 years, literally tax the middle class into oblivion. Now, I'd like to give you something. You've had time to get those pencils and paper. So you can write this down for yourself, figure it on your calculator right there at home. I want to give you, which is, I guess, the 1, 2, 3, the fourth agenda, basically. I call it that because it was just something given to me. I want to give you a devaluation formula. This is what they're working on. Now, first thing you want to put down is 3%. Now, what I'm going to do is give you the percentages, and then after I finish, I want you to figure, in accordance with how this works out with your personal finances, as to how long you and your household can continue to maintain your level of living right now with this devaluation formula as a basis for figuring it. Number one, put down 3%, because on September the 13th of 2012, when the Federal Reserve announced that they were going to take $40 billion out of thin air, they didn't say that, but that's exactly what they did, $40 billion out of thin air every month and buy mortgage-backed securities, it automatically depreciates the purchasing power of that paycheck that you get every week by 3%. Then put down some of these new taxes that were the result of the fiscal cliff. The very week the fiscal cliff agreement was made, there was a 2% tax put on your paycheck. So put down another 2%.
Then I want you to put down Obamacare. Obamacare beginning 1 year from now. I'm going over a four-year period. Understand that these 10 agendas don't all happen in the next month. These are things that they intend to accomplish over a four-year period. And put down Obamacare, first day of next year, you'll be paying somewhere between $30 to $60 per month for Obamacare. I mean, it's going to cost you. You say, oh, well, my employee is paying it. Yeah, but your employee doesn't pay it. Your employee just raises the price of the product, and you're still paying it anyway. There is no free lunch out there. So you figure between $30 and $60, depending on what your family size and so on is for Obamacare, and put that down, what percentage. Then you've gone to the grocery store recently. You know where grocery prices are going. You determine about what percentage that grocery prices are going up and put that down. Then you want to go to inflation. We know what that is. The government announces that between 7 and 9% per year. So put down one half to maybe three quarters of a percentage for inflation. Then put down the fact that your employer may cut you back to a 30-hour work week because any employee that he or she has that they have working for 30 hours or more, they have to pay the Obamacare tax on them. So as a result, Walmart has already announced that every person working for Walmart as of the first day of next year, unless they are management personnel, will be cut back to less than 30 hours per week.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, Lindsay, we're coming up to the end of the first hour now. We'll be back in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen, with Tom Filer and Pastor Lindsay Williams to continue the calculations.